These ads are so vicious, and they're so phony, they're so false. And I tell people, I think I have $50 million worth of negative ads in Florida. $50
million. He's attacked Mexicans. He's attacked people with disabilities. He's attacked women. He's attacked Muslims. He's just gone after everybody.
Please have them say that John Kasich rose and his positive campaign is making a difference. Thank you all very much.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:09 and it's Tuesday, March 8th, 2016. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. On today's broadcast, we're going to peek into virtual reality, both how brands are sort of taking on this new technology and how one major brand that you may be familiar with has embraced it in a big way. Six Flags is announcing new roller coasters that are going to be using Samsung virtual reality Oculus glasses. And that's coming up on our show today. And later in the broadcast, we're going to remember the creator of email. But first, here's your market intel from overnight. Asian shares sagged today as oil prices gave up overnight gains. A weaker dollar weighed on Japanese stocks following the release of revised data showing Japan's economy contracted in the October to December period. Wall Street did manage to eke out only modest gains yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrials gained about 67 points, about 0.4% to 17,073. The S&P edged up about a point, 0.77 to 2,001. The NASDAQ composite, which is heavily weighted with technology stocks, gave up about 9 points or about 0.2%, and it closed at 47.08. Revised data showed Japan's GDP contracted at a 1.1% annual pace in the last quarter, compared to 1.4 expansion in the July to September period. Also rattling markets are the worries about the Chinese economy, which has been a key driver of growth. China also lowered its official growth target this year to 6.5 to 7%. A benchmark U.S. crude oil trading at $37.50 a barrel today. The dollar slipped against the yen and was little changed against the euro. Federal Reserve Chairman Stanley Fischer, Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer, says inflation in the U.S. may be starting to tick up from too low levels, in his words. A key condition for further interest rate hikes, however, another Fed official, Lael Brainard, expressed uncertainty about whether an improving job market would be enough to bolster inflation, especially considering low oil prices and the strong dollar. The two Fed officials' views underscore how the Fed is wrestling with a prolonged period of muted price gains and its timetable for further interest rates. Many policymakers don't expect there to be another interest rate until maybe June at the earliest. They are expected to leave rates unchanged when they meet again on March 15th to the 16th. Well, Six Flags Over Great America is not one of the Six Flags locations that's going to have virtual reality roller coasters this summer, but there are several across the country that are going to have a new technology and a new attraction. Six Flags Entertainment Corporation has announced it's partnering with Samsung Electronics to announce a broad marketing partnership that includes a debut of what the company's calling a groundbreaking experience coming to 9 Six Flags parks, North America's first virtual reality roller coaster.
This changes everything. Six Flags introduces North America's first virtual reality coaster, the new revolution. You're the fighter pilot as you dive and loop at 60 miles an hour.
That's the promotional video that Six Flags has released ahead of the launch of the new virtual reality roller coasters. We're joined on the newsline this morning by Sam Rhodes. He's the corporate director of design for Six Flags. Good morning, Sam. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning.
This is pretty cool. Give us a sense of what it is that we're going to experience here.
Well, what we're doing is actually adding this, you know, virtual reality experience to, you know, 9 of our big, giant thrilling coasters. And what's really great about this is that once you actually get on these coasters and you put these virtual reality headsets on that we're working with Samsung on, you are fully immersed in a completely different world. You will no longer see a roller coaster track. that you will feel all the forces of the track and actually see a completely different virtual world that we've created. We've got a couple of different scenarios that we're looking at. You know, for example, one of them, you're going to be sitting in the cockpit of a fighter jet flying through a big city, battling some aliens in a giant alien spaceship. So it's really exciting.
I want to get into some of the details in our next segment with you here, but I wanted to, you know, I saw, when I first saw this, I thought, is this going to be another of these attractions where we sit in a seat and everything around us moves and we have these headsets on? But it sounds like you're describing an actual roller coaster experience in virtual reality.
That's absolutely true. You're actually sitting on a big, giant, swimming steel roller coaster.
And so you've selected nine of these parks, nine of your parks. Have you selected these for a reason, or are these just, did you have pull them out of a hat? How did you select those?
No, we look at our overall capital that we're looking at launching for the coming season. And you know, as you probably know, we typically try to have some big news in every single one of our parks every single year. It's kind of our DNA now, that we really like to introduce something new and exciting at every single one of our parks. And fortunately for a great America, we're getting a pretty substantial, incredible attraction this year. So that's one of the reasons we did put one of them there this year.
I have lots of more questions for you. Sam Rhodes is the Corporate Director of Design at Six Flags. We're talking with him this morning on the opening bell about the new virtual reality roller coasters at Six Flags. We'll continue our conversation right after we update traffic this morning. And good morning, Mary Vandeville.
Shares sagged overnight as oil prices gave up earlier gains. A weaker dollar weighed on Japanese stocks after the release of revised data that showed Japan's economy contracting in the final quarter of 2015. U.S. investors had a mixed Monday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 67 points to finish above 17,000. The S&P 500 closed nearly 2 points higher, but the tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite lost 9 points on the day. Americans are keeping their vehicles longer. They're also doing a lot of the maintenance themselves. The Census Bureau says Shade Tree Mechanics have bought $1 trillion worth of car and truck parts, up 6.5% year over year. And a new study finds that a growing percentage of people in the suburbs are renting instead of buying their residences. The finances of home ownership since the mortgage meltdown might be a lead reason for the change, but the cost of renting also is rising inside most of the biggest metropolitan areas, sending renters out to the suburbs. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 520. Welcome back to The Opening Bell. We're talking with Six Flags Corporate Director of Design, Sam Rhodes, this morning about the new virtual reality roller coasters at Six Flags. Six Flags partnering with the Samsung Gear VR, virtual reality powered by Oculus. Sam, I'm curious because people are asking about the technology. Has it gotten to the point now where it is an experience, or have all the bugs been worked out of it that you know of?
Well, for us, yeah, we believe it has. We've been looking at doing this virtual reality for, you know, a few years now. And actually, until we came across the Samsung Gear VR, it really was the big breakthrough for us, where we actually had the opportunity to have a untethered device that's a very high quality, that works via Bluetooth. And it was really the game changer for us, and it opened the opportunity and the door for us to be able to put this on these big coasters.
How is this going to impact the rider experience? Is this going to be something that's on a face that's going to be cumbersome, or is it going to be comfortable? How would you describe this?
Well, it's actually very, very comfortable. We've done quite extensive testing with this and with some riders and some very hardcore roller coaster enthusiasts, which so far all of our response back has been it's the best thing to ever happen to a roller coaster.
It's, you know, you have some of the best roller coasters in the country already. I can't imagine them getting any better, but you've added scenes from Superman. You've partnered with DC on this. Give us a sense of maybe what one of those rides is going to be like. What will be the full experience?
Well, for example, on the Superman rides, we're doing three of our parks that we're adding this to, and you know, which are already, like you said, great big roller coasters. But this will actually give guests the first opportunity to actually fly with Superman through Metropolis. They'll be battling against Lex Luthor and some of his Lexbot minions and fighting back and forth. And you'll be very immersed in the battle and the excitement. Superman will save you. You'll get a very up close and personal look at Superman as you're flying through this experience. And of course, I don't want to give out the complete ending of it, but it's a pretty exciting ride.
The parents are probably asking, okay, can my children wear these headsets? Is this technology safe for kids?
It is safe for kids, but like what we typically do, we always follow all of the ride manufacturer guidelines. And in this particular case, the Oculus' guidelines are, 13 years of age. So anyone 12 and under, they don't recommend.
Is there an extra nauseousness that goes along with this experience, or is it pretty cool and smooth?
No, actually, that's one of the beauties of this whole system, and this is one of the great things that we've discovered with this particular system that we're using. What really creates the nausea for someone that would be wearing a virtual reality headset sitting in a chair is you're basically kind of tricking your brain to think you're moving, but you're really not, and that creates some of the nausea. Well, with on a roller coaster, you're actually feeling the physical forces. So we have what you see in the virtual reality headset is perfectly synced with the actual movements of the coaster. What we've actually found is some people that get nausea on roller coasters don't even get nausea with this headset.
And that's actually good for me because I get really nauseous on some of these roller coasters. Well, let me ask you, is this going to be more expensive for people who visit Six Flags or in line with your other rides?
No, this is actually part of our ticket price. We believe that all of our guests should have the same opportunity to get on these rides and ride it just like a new roller coaster. If we were to build a new coaster, it's all included in the same ticket price.
Do you, as you look forward to the future, do you have a sense of where the technology is going to lead places, companies like yours who are, the traditional roller coaster, theme park experience? Is this the wave of the future?
It sure feels like it's heading that direction right now. Once you get an opportunity to get out and experience one of these things, you'll just be completely blown away. And it really is the sky's the limit. There's lots of opportunities with interactive experiences, and we've actually got some interactive experience on ours, but we're looking to push that even farther in the future. It's just wide open.
You have beat others out of the gate on this. Do you expect, was that planned? Did you have some intel that maybe other parks were planning this? Because you guys are the first.
Well, I don't know about what some of the other parks. We've heard some talk about other parks working on it, but it's something that we've been looking at, like I said, for a couple of years, and the timing was just right for us. We were just super excited to get this out there. And we have a huge innovative department, and we're always looking for that next big thing, and it was just perfect for us to come out with it right now. We have a lot of great parks opening up for spring break, so we're all excited.
We touched on this at the beginning of the program, but do you have a sense of when this might come to Six Flags Great America?
Not yet. We are looking at expanding next year quite a few of our parks. The Great Adventure has such an incredible ride coming to them this year. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Justice League attraction, but we did this Justice League attraction at a couple of our parks last year, and it won the world's best new attraction. So it's a very high-tech, innovative attraction. So just like the virtual reality, it's on the cutting edge of technology.
Sam Rhodes, who's the corporate director of design for Six Flags Entertainment Corporation. Sam, good of you to be up with us on the opening bell this morning. Can't wait to try your virtual reality roller coasters.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. By the way, if you want to find the nearest place, the nearest Six Flags close to Chicago, it would be Six Flags over St. Louis. The New Revolution will be there. They're also on the way to Texas. So they're going to be in Georgia, Maryland, New York, also Massachusetts in Canada, and I believe in California. Six Flags Magic Mountain are the parks getting the virtual reality roller coasters. This is the opening bell on 720 WGN. It's 527. Let's head over to the newsroom. Vic Vaughn standing by with a look at the top stories. Vic, what do you got?
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Well, we're looking deeper into these murder charges against this 22-year-old gunman, according to Chicago police, who executed a 9-year-old last year. It's apparently over a riff between rival gangs. Just a horrific story. But finally, murder charges, and we have that coming up.
All right, and coming up here on the opening bell, we're going to continue our conversation about virtual reality, and we're going to talk with Dale Buss about some of the other brands that are taking the charge and taking on virtual reality. That's as the opening bell continues. It's 527.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, refugee assistance in the blink of an eye. Many refugees fleeing the civil war in Syria end up in Jordan. And thanks to the United Nations Refugee Agency, a cash assistance program has been set up there so families can buy food. Families first get their cash by using paper vouchers. Then it was prepaid bank cards. But now
we're replacing the credit card with a retinal scan. The refugees in the partner supermarkets put their face in front of a camera, and the camera scans both the irises and confirms that they are the right people to use this assistance.
Jonathan Campbell of the World Food Program says this speeds things up.
The whole process can take place in 1 to 3 seconds.
And makes things safer.
There is a dedicated cloud for all this communication, which is completely secure.
The refugee agency plans to expand the program to other countries in the region. With Tech Trends, I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
538. Welcome back to the opening bell this morning. Get up and get Adam. We're talking this morning, having a conversation about virtual reality and some of the brands that have taken on this new trend. We mentioned in the first half hour of the program, Six Flags, which has gone with its virtual reality roller coasters. But Six Flags isn't the only company diving into this technological advancement. Some of the other brands testing the waters include McDonald's in Sweden.
Here's how to update the world's most iconic box. Pop out the eye and nose holes. Remove the lens pack.
McDonald's there is letting kids turn their Happy Meals into VR viewers, or as the company's calling them, Happy Goggles. They're testing it there before they move it on to, I guess, the rest of the world. Joining us to continue our conversation about VR trends and brands this morning is Dale Buss. He's written about this for brandchannel.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dale D. Buss. Dale, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to our conversation with Six Flags and their new virtual reality roller coaster, but you've written quite a bit about this. Is this something that is going to catch on with brands across the world, around the world?
Yeah, you're definitely finding more companies and brands investing in virtual reality as well as something called augmented reality, and I'll explain the difference in a second. They're yet another aspect of digital technology that is changing business as well as life, from very serious applications to some of the things that you mentioned, including Six Flags and little Swedish kids in overseas at McDonald's. Augmented reality is something where you have images appearing in a headset or maybe on your smartphone that complement the real world. So Intel just announced the other day they're going to jump into augmented reality in a big way, and they've got partners that are helping with this. There's one company that got a construction site. If you have an augmented reality headset, you walk around the site, and sensors will tell you what pipes might leak or what pipes are heating up dangerously. So maybe in a refinery or something like that, allowing workers to avoid accidents and come up with repairs. And there's another company associated with Intel that has goggles for sports enthusiasts. So if you're golfing, you've got your augmented reality goggles on, maybe you can figure out exactly the right distance from exactly where your ball is standing to the hole instead of having to go to the cart, that sort of thing. And then, as I mentioned, so a little bit more advanced technology is virtual reality, where the only thing you see is what's in the goggles. And you mentioned a couple of applications there, McDonald's and Six Flags. You've also got like car companies getting into this. Mercedes-Benz has a new virtual reality ad that, with the right technology online, you can look at that shows their particular take on Colorado. And Audi, for example, has a virtual reality showroom that they're working on, where you can go and slap on a set of goggles, and it'll help you put together the ideal Audi and kind of show you in simulated environments how that Audi might perform. So there's just a huge range of applications that companies and brands are using as they harness this technology.
And the big boys on the block, Facebook and Google Alphabet, have made no bones about where they're headed in the future. Facebook especially headed towards this virtual reality. What comes to mind is the picture of Mark Zuckerberg walking down the aisle of a recent meeting, and everybody in their Facebook goggles. So this is coming.
It was like a scene out of Star Wars or something. It was pretty amazing.
It was pretty surreal, but it also shows how serious they are about moving in that direction, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can kind of struck you as a little bit fanciful, maybe, or a little bit. Superfluous. I mean, one of the virtual reality applications that is being developed out there, no surprise, is for porn. So that shows you how serious it is, and one of the biggest industries on the internet is looking into virtual reality as well. But it really does, using the power of digital technology, bits and bytes, and by the trillions, putting on a pair of goggles really can transform your world. Or in the case of augmented reality, can help you maybe transform it a little bit so you can get a little extra information that'll help you do essential industrial or business tasks. But it is a huge field of investment for these folks. And as you mentioned, McDonald's, I mean, looking for an edge, looking for something a little bit different to try to promote itself. And I wouldn't be surprised to see these virtual reality goggles were making their way from McDonald's in Sweden to, perhaps over to the U.S.
So here's the big question. Is VR ready for prime time? Because this is a technology that's been around, and we've tried it before. It's failed before, or wasn't ready before. Is this an area that, for investors, is a good place to be looking to put their money?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think it obviously depends on the player. There are opportunities through a whole bunch of startups in both augmented reality and virtual reality. So when you're in that world, of course, as an investor, you've got to pick your spots and places carefully, and high risk, high reward. But then you look at a company like Intel, which is finally getting into augmented reality and also virtual reality in a big way. When they're taking it seriously as they are, and Intel, of course, is looking for new growth markets because PCs, for which they supply the chips, it's definitely not a growth market these days. When they're plunking down hundreds of millions of dollars into virtual reality and augmented reality, you can tell it's a pretty serious enterprise. And, investors are going to have to be looking at Intel, for example, in light of their virtual reality investments, because it's going to be a big part of what they do in the future.
We have about 30 seconds left, Dale, but I want to get your opinion on this. There have been some complaints that this technology is not up to par in terms of health. There's eye strain. There's nauseousness. Is it being tested properly?
I don't know. I assume that, again, you mentioned the investment aspect of this. Intel is probably going to make sure when they're putting this kind of money into something that they are vetting it thoroughly, because they don't want to be liable later on. The more this technology spreads, the more academic institutions, hospitals, and other research outfits, I wouldn't be surprised if the federal government is looking at it as well. They're going to check it out, and we'll know what kind of impact that it has on health, I'm sure.
Dale Buss, who's a writer, his article on this, on VR and brands, appears on brandchannel.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dale D. Buss. We're going to link to his latest article on virtual reality and brands. Dale, thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
It's 5:45 on 720 WGN. Time for traffic. Here's Mary Vandeville.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:50 on the Opening Bell on the market futures this morning. The Dow futures are lower, off 97 points. The S&P futures off 13. The NASDAQ futures off about 33 points. Gold and silver trading up today. Oil is trading lower. Let's get the latest on the rest of the commodities. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning. As we look at the Monday trade, an interesting day with commodities. The price of oil that went up 5% yesterday is now 51% higher than the low set back in early January. Major recovery in the oil market. Yesterday marked the beginning of the Goldman roll at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Funds trading the live cattle and hog markets shifted to June long positions further back in a procedure known as the Goldman roll. And Monday was the first of 5 days for that process. At the end of the day, the nearby lean hog contract was down 65 cents for the day. The rest of the months traded higher. Cattle futures traded lower yesterday, with April live cattle down 42 cents and April feeder cattle also down 42 cents. And one other note, the National Pork Producers Council elected new officers, and the president is John Weber, a pork producer from Dysart, Iowa, who will serve the next year as president of the National Pork Producers Council. You have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a good day as well. Raymond Tomlinson, the computer program who invented email as we know it today, has died. He invented it in 1971, and he famously put the @ sign before the web address. So that is how we've come to use at WGNradio.com or whatever your email address is. Did he know what he was doing when he invented it? Perhaps. We found some audio of Mr. Tomlinson speaking about this as he was inducted into the Internet Hall of Fame several years ago. This is Raymond Tomlinson.
I'm often asked, did I know what I was doing? And the answer is, yeah, I knew exactly what I was doing. I just had no notion whatsoever of what the ultimate impact would be. What I was doing was providing a way for people to communicate with other people. Computers communicate with each other all the time. They send bits. The world's population as a whole does not care about bits. They care about their ability to access information and exchange information.
ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky is with us this morning from New York. Aaron, the world is remembering Mr. Tomlinson because he gave us this new way of communicating. He really is one of the inventors of our time, right?
Well, because the way we communicate entirely changed by his invention. He is the father of email and kind of the, I guess people are calling him the savior of the @ sign, because that's how we address each other now. He suffered a heart attack on Saturday, 74 years old, but he's the one who sent the very first email, and he did so in 1971 while he was working in Boston at a company that developed what basically became the Internet.
Do we have a sense of how this communication might be different today if he hadn't selected the ad or made it go the way that it did?
Well, I mean, I guess it's maybe the @ symbol would be kind of an obscurity the way it was. And apparently he said he liked it because it's the only preposition on the keyboard.
Well, he's won a number of awards and accolades, but he really should go down in the Hall of Fame of technology, shouldn't he? He should be one of the top people you think of.
You'd think, right? I mean, given how important his contribution is, could you imagine no email? And for those of us who get a lot of it at work, it would be wonderful, perhaps, if we did not have email. But it really has changed the way everybody does business. And he to the tech world, something of a cult figure.
Has he been working until recently? Has he? What do you know anything that he might have been working on up to his death?
I hadn't heard he worked at Raytheon, so I think that was where he had been, whether he was going to do anything as groundbreaking as using a computer to send person to person messages, who knew? And that's a contribution that I think could never be topped.
And this @ symbol has moved on beyond email to Twitter now, too. I wonder if you realized it would go that far.
Right. And it has become part of the international language of communication. And when he chose it, in addition to loving the preposition, he was looking, people who knew him say that, at the keyboard, and he needed something that would not otherwise be part of an address, and that seemed to be the logical solution. Every other key seemed to have a specific purpose, and now experts say that key probably would have gone away if not for email, and now, as you say, Twitter.
And as we remember Ray Tomlinson, you've given us two good trivia questions about this man.
Well, I think it will be for what he always considered a neat idea. He apparently was not on assignment when he was looking to do this. He was just fooling around looking for something to do with the Internet, which wasn't even called the Internet then. And he created email because it seemed like a neat idea, he once said. The first email was just sent between two machines that were side by side. And those messages were entirely forgettable, and he once said he has forgotten them.
ABC News correspondent Aaron Kuchersky with us from New York this morning on the opening bell. Again, the trivia question that you can remember for your next trivia party, the only key on the keyboard that's a preposition, it's the at symbol. And rest in peace, Raymond Tomlinson. That's the opening bell for today. Email us if you have any questions or concerns. And have a nice day. The producer of the show is Mary Sandberg, our engineer Ben Cortez. Production help from Ross Cochran. The Steve Cochran Show is up next. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock with the opening bell. It's 5:57.